Do you think that one day improvisation and the news might be able to actually meld together?
Right now, the news happens. People observe it. They think about it. They write a sketch. Right now, the news is a sketch. Soon, there's going to be so many cameras. They're just going to cut to it live and improv the news, like, announcers, as it happened.
They have people everywhere, and everybody has a camera. It's like, we're going to cut to Philip Simondet, who happens to be sitting in the room that is burning.
Oh, my God. I would be a terrible... I hope I'm never in a burning room.
Let's just do it right now. Cut to Philip Simondet in a room that's burning.
Fire. When did you decide to combust?
Is that what's
going on? Be the fire. Be the fire.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, I decided... Wait, I should play at the top of my intelligence.
Yeah, don't be a dumb fire.
Okay.
This fire is burning a room. It's winning.
Well, I decided to start burning... See, I make all of my smart characters British.
It's a British fire.
Yeah, it's a British fire. I decided to start burning when somebody left their space heater on.
Oh, that was me. This is my room, and that's my space heater. I left it on. This has been Philip's Burning Room Corners.
Hi, I'm Philip.
Hi, Matt.
First, we'll have a little chat.
Then put on our ring brothers.
Now it's time for Next at Bat.
And we're here today with Tom Weber. Hi, Tom Weber.
Hello there.
Hi.
Hi, Philip.
Sorry. That was weird.
No, that's fine.
That's a keeper right there.
Before we start talking to Tom, let's just throw the microphone over to my good friend, Philip Simondet, so he can introduce himself.
Hi, guys. I'm Philip Simondet. Hey. Hi, Tom Weber.
Hey, what's up?
Hi, Matthew McLeod. Let's throw the mic back to Matthew McLeod.
Thanks. Thanks, Philip. We'll see you in a short while. Do you want to work on being more awkward?
I'll plan to. Thanks. Just expect more awkward.
Okay.
A little bit.
I'm excited for it. So, Tom, you have a radio show.
Well, yes.
Was there a question about that?
Well, to use the verb have suggests that I own it.
Well,
I appear on a
Who
on
happens a show. To own that
well,
show?
Well, Minnesota Public Radio.
Minnesota Public Radio. Yes, okay, NPR. So you're on NPR from 9 to noon.
Every weekday. It's a little show called The Daily Circuit, and I do a little newscasting. I do some interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we talk to... elected people. Sometimes we talk to musicians. Sometimes we talk to the regular folk. We have quite the assortment.
Hmm. So it's like the Today Show if it weren't shitty.
Well, I've never put that on a bumper sticker, right? I've never heard it described that way. But yes, it's a newsy show. Mm-hmm. I would throw out this possibility that it's a little newsier than the Today Show.
That's kind of what
we don't have a lot of cooking segments,
right?
Or really any cooking segments.
But you can go into the local arts, and you can go in a lot of different directions. You're not stuck strictly on the news.
Yes,
of the day.
We can let our hair down, as I like to say, every now and then.
Right. And so, as the person who is the voice of this show...
A voice of the show.
A there's voice.
Two hosts.
Oh, there's
I'm actually
hosts.
The co-host.
And who's on there with you?
Carrie Miller.
Okay.
Who's been at NPR for a very long time. And we are there. And Steph Curtis is a third voice who you hear from time to time as well. She monitors kind of our social media. So we have a little cavalcade of voices you'll hear.
Sure.
Absolutely. It's kind of like Next at Bat.
It is.
Do they make you shut up for the first 22 minutes? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'll go back to the corner. I'm sorry.
Philip, please work on being more awkward.
Okay.
Not today, Philip.
Philip, you know you're welcome to throw in interview questions whenever you like.
Guys, stop fighting.
If I ever am smart enough to think of one, I will try to put it out there.
I appreciate that.
Oh, now people are going to believe that you actually can't. Anyway.
People know my limits. We're good.
So, now, are you a part of the writing team on there too, or do you just show up and you're just a voice for hire?
Well, yes, I do write, but it's not like, you know, a comedy show where I'm writing jokes.
Right.
It's just, you know, writing the news and this, that. It's very, very, it's very serious compared to the kind of improv stuff I do on the side. So,
right.
Wait, you write the news?
Well, I don't. You get to I take actual news that has happened, and I've written it in a way that I can tell people what happened. So there's that.
You should try writing just make differently it up. Sometime. What would happen if you just wrote that something cool happened?
I don't know that
cool
I'd be able to do that very often or very much before they relieve me of my duties if I just made up the news.
Over in the Sochi Olympics today,
yes,
the city fixed everything. Vladimir Putin stepped down.
Yes, I would not make that up.
That is an exclusive.
It seems though
it's groundbreaking.
It seems with the Olympics that there's no need to make up stories.
No, the stories are really
stories are really good already.
Yeah.
So why bother? Yeah. Just let the news be. I think that's actually true in most cases. The news is so amazing and crazy sometimes that you can't really make that up.
Well, yeah, I mean, and the old saying about, you know, the truth being stranger than fiction.
Yes. Well, have you noticed more and more, it seems more and more, based on unscientific surveys of my own life, that more and more friends, like if they post something on Facebook or something, some crazy story happens, and then they have to say, this is not from The Onion. This is not an Onion article. This is this is actually something that happened.
This is real. And then it's just, and you get to report on that every day. So while it's not a comedy show, it kind of is.
Well said. Well said, sir.
The absurdity of everyday life. But in terms of doing the reporting, obviously I'm assuming that working with the team is very enjoyable. But in terms of actually reporting stuff, what's your favorite part to do? Is it getting into the local stuff, or do you enjoy digging into what's going on nationally and kind of knowing that first and then bringing it to the people?
I'd say I'm more interested in kind of the Minnesota side of things, but I think the better answer to your question is probably the topic. Like, I like, there's certain topics I like more. So I think that's actually why having two hosts is really good, because, you know, like Carrie, for example, she's really into books. That's one of her things. And she reads a lot of books, and she gets to interview the authors. And I like to do that too, but she's really into that. So that's a great compliment. And I like to, you know, cover and talk about these things and that things and this, that, and the other thing. I'm a little more probably attuned to the sports world, you know.
Sure.
So if a sports story rises to the level of needing to be covered, I'd want to do that, because, you know, that's something I kind of keep more attention to. Things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
It's good stuff.
And how much of the show is, like, is it pre-scripted that you're reading off of notes, or I'm assuming you don't have teleprompters?
No teleprompters. We don't want to overdo it here. But I have notes. But it's, you know, it's a conversation. You know, you're interviewing someone just like you're interviewing me.
Right.
Have you written down questions?
No, this is 100% improvised.
This is so improv.
Yeah, which is why the quality control is non-existent.
But you can edit it later. So the difference that I have a live show. So I do make some notes ahead of time.
Okay.
So I have theories and thoughts on where I want to take the conversation. Sure. But it's a live conversation. So let it go wherever it's going to go. So if you're interviewing someone about, you know, the zoning of blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, the person says, oh, and you know, I ran over a guy yesterday. You know, I mean,
you naturally take
the conversation where it has to go. That's never happened, by the way. So
right. The street should have been better zoned.
Redo the zoning. Well, that'll be our next segment. Yeah. More conversations to have then.
And there's nothing more fun than zoning conversations.
I've always said that.
Yeah.
Put that on a bumper sticker too. Yeah.
So you're really into local musicians and zoning.
Exactly. If there's a way to merge them.
Oh, yeah.
Musicians singing about zoning law. Mm-hmm. I am there.
I think that we could probably make that happen.
Yeah, I think so.
You started doing improvisation over at the Brave New Workshop.
True.
At what point? How many years ago?
I guess that's been two years? 2 years-ish.
Okay.
Yeah, I started with the first, very first class, which they call Every Day over there.
Mm-hmm.
So I did all those classes, and then the next level is called Performance, and I did all of those. So I've done all of those classes. It's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you perform over there with the Stage Match.
I perform with this guy.
You do now. You're on the
I
house
do
team.
Now. Philip and I are on a team together.
The Houlihans.
We're called the Houlihans. Yeah. Come see us, everybody.
That's right. Formerly the In-Laws. So if you knew them as the In-Laws, they would change their name.
which I have a hard time believing you would have because it was so short-lived.
There's two shows.
you guys were pretty famous.
Well, no, one show, right?
We were something. I think it was only one. I think
yeah,
the second
one.
Show.
The first show was the In-Laws.
5 minutes before the second show, we're like, let's change our name. Yeah. I don't recommend that, by the way, but yeah, we don't, yeah.
After all those t-shirts were made.
Yeah, I know. We have to send them all back.
So if anyone has, you know, last minute gift needs for your in-laws, talk to us. We've got t-shirts for you.
Or discount. You can make, like, burn all the rest of them and have them be really rare collector's items.
Mm, ooh, I think they're already rare collector's items, seeing as how they don't exist.
Yeah, that's good point. Since part of your job is somewhat improvised, how has learning improv helped your job? Like, just to go simple.
You know, I think about that every now and then, but I don't think about it too much. But because I have other things to think about, I guess. But to turn your question on its head, I have been. People have said, oh. Did you want to do improv because you thought it might help your job? And the answer to that is no, I actually didn't. I was kind of just looking. I had a friend who had done one of the shows over there called Six Ring Circus, which doesn't exist anymore. But, I went to see her perform and she was like, oh, yeah, I think you'd have fun with this. And, you know, it kind of just got started that way. So it was very innocent and just kind of in the spirit of a hobby.
As opposed to insidious, which is how most
which
people
is how
get into
most
improv.
People do it. Yes, yeah. they're devilish in their wants.
I would like to get further in my life and take some people down. And I'm going to learn improv.
Improv's going to be the way to do it.
That's a sure take over the world
away.
Plan.
Exactly.
Improv.
So yeah, so I just did it that way and got into it and I really enjoyed it. But then now going back to your question, I have found that it's there are I think that I've probably incorporated improv into my job more than I realize.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I couldn't give you an example, but you know, the idea of thinking on your feet,
mm-hmm.
Even the yes anding,
yeah,
there's an element of that because if you're interviewing someone, you know, we don't call it this in the news world, but you're essentially yes anding them. Although in my job, you're also supposed to push back, you know, like, is that really true? You know, if it's, the interviewing the mayor or something like that, you know, hey, I don't know, you know, so there's a mix. So I definitely think, it helps with thinking on your feet and it's great.
But
so,
that active listening sort
of
thing.
Well, yes. And I think maybe
you already had that.
I think so. I think that may have been a strength I had going into improv because mm-hmm. that's what you're supposed to do. Because in the news world, the biggest thing when you're interviewing someone that they teach you that I think not enough people learn is listen to the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I go into my shows with a list of questions, but you know, if someone says something really earth-shaking or even nuanced during an interview, you have to catch it and say, wait, what do you mean that? What do you mean by that? Mm-hmm. And that may bring up a whole other thing. So listening is listening is huge in every realm of life.
It is.
But
it's hard to practice.
Exactly. So I think I maybe realized, you know, making those connections in improv, you know, you kind of circle back and say, yeah, that's why listening is so important for my day job.
And it's listening is one of those things where it's difficult to also pay attention to like all the body language
mm-hmm.
that is coming at you, especially if you know if you have, like you were saying, you have this list of questions. It's like, well, I'm going to get to my next question,
right?
And so you're preparing.
And for me, some of my interviews or a lot of my interviews are over the phone,
right?
So I don't see the person.
You don't
have
that privilege.
You kind of learn to imagine what their body language is.
But, yeah.
It's good stuff.
Which I suppose then you start really listening to tone.
Yeah. You have to do that. I mean, the pregnant pauses are actually, I think, a very, you know, I don't, you know, we could get very philosophical if we wanted to, but pregnant pauses and silence on the radio, I think are actually very good things
mm-hmm.
because people notice them.
Yeah.
You know, if you just have the radio on in the back, right, and you're making dinner or
white
something
noise.
Like that. And then it's white noise, but then if someone is saying something potent and they you know, they're getting a little emotional, and they take that second, you know, and then there's that silence. If you're kind of in the kitchen making dinner, you notice that. That's what makes you, it's amazing. It's the silence that makes you listen to the radio.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would throw out there that with improv, and it's certainly something I need to work on, is that you can't be afraid of silence.
Yeah.
Because I think some of those same things would happen with improv, that if you have better silence, mm-hmm. high quality silence, that people will really like, what's happening? I don't know.
And I think that comes for, I mean, you guys have that opportunity right now on a house team.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get to that level. I have this theory that everybody has a freak out point.
Yeah.
And a lot of people's freak out threshold is really early. It's a matter of 1 second.
Yes.
And
you're talking in a set, in the middle.
Yeah,
of
scene. In a scene. Well, and actually in life.
Yeah.
I mean, but on stage, it's just amplified. And everybody's freak out is they default to something.
Gotta talk, gotta fill it.
Either that, or they climb up, or they take over a scene and make it make sense, get really plotty, or they go absurd and start throwing detail after detail after detail. Or I mean, everybody has something.
Mm-hmm.
But rarely is the default to let it breathe.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you have a group that really works together for a long period of time, you can have those trust levels where six people can be on stage and things can breathe.
Well, but the only other note to that is that when you're watching improv, there are plenty of pregnant pauses, especially at the starts of scenes. And that wasn't the will. That was because people are like,
figuring it out.
I don't know what I'm doing. Right. And
that's a
figuring out
thing.
The signal. That's a different kind of silence. And it is funny because you can tell the difference.
Yeah,
as an audience member,
yeah.
You can tell the difference. It's like, oh, they're kind of straggling out there. Or, wow, that was a really powerful moment.
Yeah, you can tell if it was a planned or an unplanned pregnancy pause. Mm-hmm.
This guy, you know, he doesn't talk a lot, but when he does.
It is what's called a poacher. he's like, I'm only going to listen for puns.
And then I'm going to weigh in.
And I'm going
but
to...
you know what? He's going to hit. That's his home run right there.
Yeah.
Because if he knows what it is to hit it out of the ballpark, bam.
He just made his improv paycheck.
You guys are the whole pizza. I'm just the pepperoni that makes people like it.
See?
Right?
That's a good point.
That's deep, man. Put that on a bumper sticker.
Yeah.
God.
You have so many bumper stickers.
We should go into business.
Yeah, we should. Which is good because we all have faces for radio.
That's right.
Ooh. That's right.
Yeah. Ooh.
Times.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah, this is an ugly room.
Yeah, we're pretty. It's pretty bad.
Lots of glasses, lots of beards.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are what we are.
Yeah. So, since you've started performing more as opposed to simply taking classes,
mm-hmm.
What have you found yourself kind of gravitating towards in improv? What have you found yourself wanting to like work on and mm-hmm. grow with?
I'm very loud.
Okay,
people who've played with me know that I'm very. You know, maybe part of it is that I could stand to calm down a little bit and look for those pauses. I am a very animated,
mm-hmm.
loud player, which is fine in most of the time.
Yeah.
But I am always kind of, and I think Philip can attest to this, I'm always hugging that line between adding to the scene and taking over the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very fine line. And I don't know that's more art than science, but I definitely haven't mastered that. So I would say that's something I always kind of look for. I'm also taking a class right now that talks about the need to not have those pregnant pauses at the beginning where you're trying to figure it out, to just dedicate, to own up to something, to say, this is what I am.
Get in fast.
Get invested from the word, from the first step,
mm-hmm.
and make that, you know, let the scene be about that.
Cool.
Less is more.
Okay.
Is a very important thing I've kind of learned, and yet at the same time, I'm loud and boisterous. I don't always
Less is more in terms of information, or less is more in terms of character?
I think less is more in terms of if you jump out on a scene, and again, this is I'm learning this right now in a class, so this is kind of I'm stealing from my teachers here.
Sure, and maybe not fully.
Yeah, right. But it's
implemented.
The idea is that if you take two steps out onto the stage, you need to honor what it is that happened in those two steps.
Okay.
That you may have come out and stumbled, maybe because there was something on stage and you stumbled, but own it. Like, then mm-hmm. you become the stumbling guy. Or maybe you cough when you come out just because your mouth was dry. But at that moment, you own it. Now you're the coughing guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing I'm looking for now going forward, because of this class I'm taking, is look for that in that first second that you're stepping out into a scene. What is it that you're doing? Maybe you're holding your hand in a fist. Maybe you're holding your hand open.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just honor what's happening. And in the spirit of less is more, don't worry about having to say 10 things at once. Just honor what you're doing, and that's filling up your bucket right there to be able to play with.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. That reminds me of some of the David Rozowski stuff that I had learned.
Yeah, I've never had a class with him, but I've heard good things.
It's he has this blank slate theory. Mm-hmm. Which is like when you're crossing that threshold.
Yeah.
The idea is to put your mind into a like full like tabula rasa state, and then from that moment on, everything that is happening to you from the outside is becoming the experience of your newly born person, sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's sort of like that. He'd probably say it a lot better than I just did. But then that is all building your character. So in one step, you can have like 50 stimulus deciding what your character is.
Yep.
And it sounds kind of similar to what you're talking about.
Yeah, I think it's trying to get you away from overthinking it.
Yeah.
As we all take two steps out on the stage, we're thinking about something to say.
Yeah.
All of us are.
And just letting it happen to you.
Instead of just thinking about what we're doing.
Yeah.
So instead of thinking about what you're saying, think about what you're doing. Oh, all right. I'm twiddling my thumbs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, now I'm going to do that and just let that be the thing.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Where are you taking this class?
Brave New Workshop. It's the Ferrari McSpeedy duo guys.
Awesome.
Those guys, huh?
Those guys. That Mike Fotis and that Joe Bozek.
Those guys.
Those guys.
The co-education directors of the Brave New Workshop Student Union, 2605 Hennepin South.
Was that the commercial break right there? Come on down.
We like to
throw shout outs.
Well, we like to let people know where they can find this stuff.
Ah, well done, sir.
So, yes. So we've gotten maybe there's a new segment in the show.
Oh.
And I could really use some help naming it.
Oh,
because it doesn't have a name. It is currently titled Matt's Pantry of Questions.
Oh, okay.
And it needs a better name than that, because
Lightning Round is too overused.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It is overused. I'm like, oh, Lightning Round. Yeah, you're right. It's overused. So I'm going to throw out some questions at you, and these are going to be improv related. I just want some fast answers.
And yes, maybe you should call it cross examination.
Oh, that's a good
one. Right. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah, that's good. Go ahead. So if you could improvise with anybody from history, who would it be?
Oh my God. Abe Lincoln? Isn't that the history answer for everything?
And he'd be taller than you. And he'd still bring the power of beard.
That's right.
And he loves theater.
He loves...
Oh, no.
Too soon.
Still too soon.
Come on.
Jeez. See, poacher.
This guy.
If you could work in one classical form, what would that classical form be? What's your favorite classical form?
Of improv?
Yeah.
I like Let me say this. I've only done it once, mm-hmm. so I'll. This is a little bit of a suck up to you guys, but I've done the bat once, mm-hmm. and I really enjoyed it, but I've never done it since.
Well, you're about to do
well,
it.
Well, it's going to happen. Yeah. So let me. I'll have that as my answer. Yeah. How about that?
Great.
All right.
Can you recall your favorite third-person entrance that you've ever done? Because you are very good at them, ooh. Sir.
No, well, thank you.
And I admire a good third-person entrance, and you are quite talented with them. Can you tell me one that sticks out
yeah,
as your favorite?
I did. There was a scene. There was a scene I did in, I think it was Stage Match, and the two characters went out, and they were in a they were in a playground that was desolate and horrid, and there was like. It was just hell on earth. This playground was. It had been abandoned and left for dead. Right, and mm-hmm. at some point I came out and as a little kid and ran across the stage going yay swings, and then I just ran into a wall and fell over as if I'd been gorged and destroyed and killed by the horrid playground swings, and I just laid there for the rest of the scene.
So that's pretty good.
That was my favorite one. It was my favorite one because I did a callback later, which just amped it up a little bit. So that was my favorite.
Awesome.
There it is.
If you could travel anywhere in the world and bring improvisation to a place where you have found in the news needs it.
Well then,
where would it be
let's
and why?
Just say Sochi.
Okay,
and we might and why? As well. I think I don't know. There's so much going on there with. I think part of what's happening is that Sochi is. It doesn't matter where the Olympics are this year.
Right.
This is the first Olympics that are hyper Twitterized and Facebookized.
Yep.
So all of the little blemishes are going to be on display. And I one thing I've thought of this week is we've seen all these photos of the hotel rooms that aren't finished and
yeah.
the toilets that are not functional and things like that. I wonder if the 1968 Mexico City Olympics
yeah.
had the same order of blemishes, but no one made a big deal out of it because it took a day and a plane flight to get film home for TV, and it took a day to get anything into the newspapers, and you wanted to, you know what I mean? So,
yes.
So
yeah, I know exactly what you mean.
In some regards, I wonder, and I don't know, for all we know, this really is a unmitigated disaster. I really, you know, like mm-hmm. for people who've covered Olympics for 20 years, this may absolutely be an unmitigated. I just haven't heard from those people to verify that, and so I think Sochi could use a laugh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That so let's right. bring improv to Sochi. Make it an Olympic sport.
Oh, that's a great idea. Oh, that's a great idea. Yeah.
It could be a winter and a summer sport.
I love that. And finally, where is your favorite place to go get a nice glass of wine?
Oh, a glass of wine. I like I was ready for the coffee answer because I have a favorite coffee shop, but the wine
okay.
shop.
Okay, well, go with that first.
No. You know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say Frost's because they have that great garden. The patio.
Yeah, W.A. Frost
in the summer. So mm-hmm. let's say.
I don't know their address.
Well, it's at Selby and Western.
Selby and Western.
I don't know the address per se, but they just
Selby
go
and
there.
Western. Yeah, it's good. Good food too.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right, and now's the time in the show where I throw the microphone over to Phillip Simondet for a brand new segment that we call Phillip's Corner.
Phillip's Corner.
It's Phillip's Corner!
Hi, Tom.
Hi there.
Welcome to Phillip's Corner.
I'm so glad to be here. It's so dark and yet arid.
It's about to get darker.
Don't run into the walls.
Phillip's Corner is the time when I start asking questions. And as we've established, I'm not good at it.
Okay.
So what I do is I stare at you.
Mm-hmm. I see that.
Awkwardly.
You're staring at me right now.
And then I think of a question about turtles.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever know anyone that had turtles as pets?
Yeah. I have a coworker who has turtles as pets, and I went over to feed them once.
Recently?
This was about 3 years ago.
Remind me what turtles eat.
You know, little. It's kind of like fish food. It comes out of the little. You know, if you imagine what fish food comes in, you just kind of shake it a little bit, and then there's that. And steak. They eat steak. That's not true. And I've also seen turtles at the zoo, and they're just eating lettuce.
Sure.
Yeah.
Were your friends turtles, sea or land turtles?
They were in an aquarium, but I know, I happen to know. So they spend a lot of time in the aquarium, in the water, but I also know they do let them out to kind of run around the apartment. They have free reign. And apparently one of the turtles is still lays eggs, but they're never fertilized. So she's never going to have babies, but she still has to lay eggs. So they have to take the turtle out into the grass or the park once a month or whenever, however often, and just let the thing be there for a little bit so it lays eggs.
Wow.
And then the eggs never, nothing ever comes of the eggs, and I'm sure they get eaten by some other animal.
Well, that's cool. I actually had turtles growing up, and we just let them lay their eggs in the tank.
Oh, see, that's interesting. Because I think maybe my friends don't like that idea. They just say, let's let them be out in the world. And I guess, do you know they're coming? Is there can you tell?
It was like one a day. It was like, they're just always laying eggs constantly, it seemed like, from what I remember.
Just like improv. Hi-yo! Zing!
So, free-range turtles.
Indeed. See, my impression was that there was a certain time, it was a regularity of 3 weeks or four.
Like
weeks.
A cycle. Like a,
if you want to call it yeah. that. And so they kind of knew it was coming, so they would go out and the eggs. But if you're saying it was one a day, then...
I think ours did it a lot, from what I remember. Mm-hmm. Do you have a cycle of anything? Like, is there a cycle in your life that's unique to you? Like, you do this on a cycle.
Yeah, other than a bicycle, which I do own.
Yeah,
but no, that's not what you mean.
I do not want to hear about bicycles.
Wow. Because you're so anti-bicycle. I think the closest thing I could say to that is that I do enjoy, I like reading, and I like having some quiet alone time every day. That's something I give myself, and so I like to go to my neighborhood coffee shop and get a coffee and sit there. And sometimes I've noticed sometimes it's only for like 10 minutes, you know, sometimes it's for an hour. It's like the act of going to another place and being in a public setting and just reading for a little bit or a lot. That's kind of the thing I do pretty regularly.
Hmm.
Yeah.
What book are you reading now?
I'm reading a book called This Town, which is by a New York Times reporter named Mark Leibowitz. And he's basically talking about Washington, D.C., the culture of self-serving egos, blah, blah, blah. And he talks about how, you know, the world of Washington is different than everywhere else in the world, and that while we might watch on television they're fighting because they're Republicans and Democrats, at the end of the day they all go to the same bar, and it's not that they're Republicans and Democrats, it's that they're rich people and the rest of us are not. And he's a very it's not a very flattering view of
sure.
Washington culture and political culture. So that's what I'm reading right now.
At Nina's?
At Nina's. Yeah, that's my coffee shop.
On the corner of
Selby and Western. I live right by there, so there's also a YWCA there. So if you're gonna ask me what my favorite, gym, then that's gonna be my answer.
I was not.
There's also Moscow. There's also Moscow on the hill. So if you're gonna ask me where my favorite vodka,
what's
all day.
What's your favorite Russian restaurant?
I'm gonna have to say Moscow on the hill.
Okay.
What's your favorite bus stop? The bus stop at Selby and Western. Yeah, we could do this all day. Yeah.
All right.
Okay, final question.
Yes.
What's your favorite corner?
I will table that question till another episode.
You're at a bus stop.
I am at a... Well, okay. Yeah.
You notice that there's a briefcase.
Mm.
The briefcase is empty.
Mm-hmm.
You also notice that there's a small girl, like 10 years old, across the street. She goes into a house and you don't see her anymore. It's her house. She's fine. You also notice that there's 13 cents in change on the ground in front of you. You also notice that the bus that comes is about 30 seconds late, but you're not in a hurry, so you're okay with it. The other thing you notice is that it's summertime. you also notice that you yourself are just wearing like head to toe velour. Mm-hmm. Is that a thing you can wear? Mm-hmm. You are. Then you notice that you kind of have to go to the bathroom, but it can wait till you're at your destination, which is Macy's mm-hmm. downtown. Mm-hmm. What are you buying?
I feel like I'm in an Encyclopedia Brown book right now because I'm noticing so much. I am there to buy a...
Macy's on the corner of Old Sixth and Wabasha.
Is this the shuttered Macy's or is it one that's open? Assuming Macy's is still open, I'm there to buy a necktie.
Thank you so much. This has been Phillip's Corner.
All right. All right.
You ready to do some improv?
We really went there. Yes. Next up,
Pat! Tom, you're bleeding.
Oh, my God. I didn't even notice.
Yeah, it's just running down your knuckles, Tom.
What did I do?
Did you punch something?
I did. I punched this homeless guy, but it was only because he was looking at me funny.
Tom, we talked about this.
I'm not homeless. I was just walking to work.
But you're wearing that suit. Oh, I thought all homeless people wore suits.
Tom, come on. This is Sir, just, I'm sorry about my son, Tom.
That's I wish he hadn't done that.
I'm sorry that he punched you. I'm sorry that he insulted your clothes.
I was Superman.
No, Tom,
I jumped up and I punched him in the face. Oh,
I'm so sorry, sir. I'm so sorry.
Yes, I wish my wearing of suits didn't think people, you know, people wear suits. You know, you should teach your son that. But don't treat people differently because they wear suits. Just because he's wearing that little Cinderella costume and the boots, the hip waders. I mean, he looks adorable, I must say. But you know, people wear suits, and that has to be okay.
I tried it still.
Only homeless people wear suits. No, that's Tom, what my mom says.
Tom, give me your hand. I'm gonna
tell me what you always say, Mom, about homeless people.
I say they're disgusting and dirty, and don't ever touch them.
Exactly, disgusting and dirty, and you know that means suits.
Look, sir, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about my son punching you.
Yeah.
You're apologizing for your son?
Yes.
You're ashamed of me?
Mm-hmm. Tom, I told you not to punch people unless they're homeless, and he's clearly not homeless.
What are you then? Are you a businessman?
Well, I'm kind of a middle manager. That's why I'm kind of wearing a cheaper suit.
Oh.
I aspire to a higher... office within my office.
I like a man with ambition.
Oh, that's very kind of you. It's very kind.
Yeah, Tom's dad's not in the picture.
Mm.
Oh my God.
Look at you just flirting with me with your son right there.
And with your face bloodied like a homeless person.
Well, it's again, I feel like I'm at a crossroads here.
Mm.
That's fair.
Well, it is the intersection of 26th and Hennepin. That's technically a crossing of two roads.
It's true. That's a metaphor for life. Someday when I'm executive manager...
Mom, you flirt with every man that speaks to you.
Tom, just have this... Here, I've got a Jolly Rancher in my purse. Here, just... Can I talk to the nice man for a minute, Tom?
Sure. Do you want me to go punch any other men that look good to you?
No, Tom, don't punch him.
Oh, I didn't mean to spill the secret.
Sir, I never got your name. I asked my son to punch you so I'd have an excuse to talk.
Oh, that is awkward for you, isn't it? Wow.
Look, I'm sorry.
I think I'm just going to go.
No, don't.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to punch your son first, though.
No. Oh! You're just a stupid middle manager. You're never going to get promoted.
Hey, did you do that to be mean, or is this just another excuse to talk to me more? I'm so confused.
I looked into you, sir. Maury should have gotten promoted over you.
How do you know about Maury?
Because your workload has really dropped off in the past 3 months. It's as if you don't even care about your job anymore.
Sir, I'm sorry. We've been watching you for weeks before we... I really like to screen the guys that I date, but then it's like, how do you ever actually meet them? So I had my son punch you.
And then you punch an 8-year-old. You're a monster.
Why is this about me? You're the one stalking a random guy who wears suits.
Dating is hard, okay? You gotta get some preliminaries out of the way.
This is what's called a vetting process.
This is crazy, and I don't have to stand here for this.
You know what's crazy? When you took 2 weeks of sick leave, but actually went on vacation.
That's true, because the vacation pays a better rate. I agree with what you're saying. Tommy, would be a good middle manager someday.
I aspire to be CEO.
You'll never get there.
Well, not without a strong father figure. Why don't we go back to your place at 1601 Bennington Drive and talk about this?
I want to finish the puzzle.
It's almost bedtime.
I have like 16 more pieces. This is going to get there. You always said I should make goals and then work towards them and that I should have aspirationals.
You're right. I always say that. Yay! Okay, finish your puzzle. Mom's going to have a glass of wine.
You aspire to wine, Mommy.
Wine is the only joy in my life.
Oh.
Finish your puzzle, babe.
Okay.
Regina, is Derek working on his puzzle?
Yeah, he's working on his puzzle. He's got 16 pieces left.
So 15 pieces, Daddy!
Honey, there are only 18 pieces to that puzzle to begin with, and he's been working on it for 3 hours.
I know, we've got some time to ourselves now.
Okay.
He's never going to get better if he doesn't aspire. That's what I keep telling him. He needs aspirations.
He needs aspirationals is what you always say.
That's what I always say.
I think this piece is for the edge, I think.
I think that he just picked up a coaster.
Fill me up. Right. I need more wine. Thank you, darling.
I thought a lot of things when we had children, but I never thought that we would have...
The dumbest kids.
Mommy, this piece tastes great.
Good job, honey. Puzzle.
Keep it up, son.
Thanks, Daddy.
It's a really good return policy.
No. Hey, but you know, it could have been worse. We could have had assholes.
I don't know. Assholes, like, become CEOs and stuff.
Yeah, but... would you really want to deal with an asshole for 18 years in the house and then... have to deal with them outside of the house afterwards?
I spilled my milk on the puzzle.
Of course you did, son. I'll come right in and clean it up.
Thanks, Daddy.
Well, at least we know the asshole would be smart enough to be on his own by 18. This one's going to live with us till he's 30.
Yeah, but it'll be 30 years of adorable, like, Jerry Lewis antics.
I need more wine. Just drink this glass.
Just keep drinking. You won't even remember this conversation.
My pants are on backwards.
Oh, it looks like I found 14 doubloons in this here chest.
14?
14.
I've only put 12 in there since yesterday.
What? Are you saying that this chest actually grows doubloons if you put it in here?
Maybe it's a magical chest.
Oh. Magic chest.
Magic.
Good Lord.
That's right, Reginald. We have a magic chest on our hands.
We should monetize this.
Yeah.
We should have, like, tours and sell tickets and such.
And people can put money in, and then we take the profits.
And this would make up for all the other business ventures we've had that were just serious busts.
And serious failures, such as clocks that tell time backwards.
Do you remember that?
I do.
It turns out that's a horrible idea.
People don't like to be early for their appointments, nor do they like to be late.
Turns out that was a horrible idea. Just like the pirate ship. Remember we tried to make the pirate ship?
Yeah, we tried to make a pirate ship out of metal without having any idea how to bend metal.
And then we had actual pirates, and they really did actually, like, take their money.
Yeah, that was really scary.
Why would we do that?
I don't know.
It's going to be different with this chest, though, guys,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, this chest is definitely a way for us
Reginald,
to get rid of.
Magic chest?
Yes, Reginald. With your money smarts and my marketing skills and Jerry over here, well, you know what Jerry does.
I'm really good at talking to people.
You're a person, a
people person.
I'm a people person. I really listen to them.
I really feel like you listen to me, Jerry.
Oh, thank you.
That's what I've always said. That's why when I put the 14 in the chest last night, I thought, you know, I'm going to tell Jerry about this.
You put 14?
I put 14.
But you just told me it was 12, and that's why I thought it grew to 14.
Oh, no, no, no. There were 14. I must have misspoke earlier.
Fuck all. It didn't grow any money at all.
Oh, no.
Regular chest.
It's a regular chest.
Well, is there any way to monetize it, maybe, Jerry?
Let me think. Maybe we could tell people it's a magical chest.
You still in touch with any of those pirates? Maybe they could come over.
No, after they killed my two brothers, I pretty much lost touch with them.
I could see that. Yeah. I could see that.
I was pretty mad at them at the time.
Maybe we could use the chest to, like, store, like, clothes or something.
Storage chest?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we could have
a onto it
storage
there.
Chest. Reginald comes up with all these amazing taglines.
He's the idea. He's like our slogan marketing. I thought he was the money man. He's really the marketing.
He's sloganeering.
He could make, like, bumper stickers.
Yeah, he could make tons of bumper stickers.
For, like, the boot of the car. Is that the back of the car? I don't remember.
The boot? Yeah, it's the back of the car.
All right.
Unless you happen to have a reverse car, which was another terrible idea of ours.
What a horrible idea. We thought we could pair with the clocks didn't work at all.
Well, people didn't understand that if you put it in drive, you're going backwards.
It's like opposite day.
It was. I thought it was very clever, and I thought that people would enjoy it quite a bit, but apparently they thought that it was just a death trap.
I think maybe we're just ahead of our time, guys.
I think so, too.
I think that's it.
I think that if we really put our heads together, we'll probably get rich, or we're going to lose all of our money and die.
All right.
Poppy?
I can't do this anymore.
Poppy?
I can't do this.
You can't weed? What's wrong? Are your knees?
They never end. We weed one Saturday. We come out next Saturday.
Right.
Look at that weed over there. Look.
Yeah, I know. It's so easy. Just...
No.
It's gone.
It'll be back next week.
Well, of course it
will. What are we doing in life? What is any of this leading to anything, son?
But we're just taking care of our garden.
Look, kid.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to call you by your real name because you're 10 years old.
That's fine.
All right? You need to know that the world is like this. The world is a field of weeds.
I've read about this. You're having what's called an existential crisis.
I really am.
And you're seeing this bed of flowers that we've been working on for years as a metaphor for your existence.
It's a metaphor for life. There's nothing happening. Listen, kid.
Yeah.
We're going nowhere. I think we should just leave. Leave this house behind. Leave the weeds behind.
Okay.
Let's go buy a ship or a boat or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just get the hell out of here. You're a nice kid. You're going to grow up. I think you'll be a good kid.
I am going to grow up. It's... Yeah, that's true.
But what does that lead to, kid?
Well, it's by perpetuating life, we're giving something to the world.
We're not giving them a damn thing.
Sure
there's
we are.
There's nothing here.
You can't see it, but there's an immense amount of oxygen coming out of these plants that are giving to the cycle of life on the world. It's all one. It's all connected.
This is coming from your mother. You know, your mother put hope inside of you.
And my mother named me Heidegger.
I never wanted that. I never wanted you to be named Heidegger. I never wanted you to have hope. I wanted you to see this world for what it is.
There are two different ways to look at existentialism, Dad. You can either look at it in terms of hopelessness, or you can look at it in terms of connectedness.
No, that's
you don't have to be a nihilist.
You're a weed, kid. That's what you are, just like your mother.
And you, Dad, you just need to go buy a Porsche and get over yourself.
I don't want to revisit characters.
Why not?
I just, if we're going to start a theater company,
uh-huh.
We should have new characters, like, every day.
Every day? Like,
if we're going to have, like, a show,
uh-huh.
Like, even if it's the same show, we should, like, have different characters.
I think that's a great idea. Same script, new characters?
All the time.
Okay.
Right? Jerry, don't you like that idea?
Okay, but what are we going to put on the poster?
We'll say like...
We'll say it's a reparatory theater.
It's like a store.
Instead of a reparatory theater.
Yeah, it's like a come to our show, and then like...
You pick the characters. Audience picks the characters.
It's like choose your own character.
Instead of choosing your own adventure, you get the same script.
Yeah.
You get the same story.
Yeah.
You get different characters telling the story every fucking night.
And Jerry, you're the star. This is your big break. This is how you're gonna make a name for yourself.
Yeah. Okay, but the name's gonna be different every time.
I know. Yeah. That's what's awesome about it.
Yeah.
You're gonna be great, man.
One day you might be a heroic fireman.
Yeah.
The next day you might be the president. The next day you might be the president of Russia.
Oh my God, that's awesome. Jerry, I could not be more happy for you.
Look at all the different work you get to do. But you only have to memorize one script.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, but like in the playbill,
yeah.
When it says
Jerry
played, what are we gonna put in the playbill?
Well, Jerry played, that's your name. We're gonna say Jerry played the following characters in the last week. Tune in tonight to see what's next. So it's Jerry played, but what's Jerry played gonna play?
And then we're gonna figure out that night.
Oh,
this is an epic idea.
I can't believe we didn't think of this sooner. Jerry played. What will he play? That's like a slogan, man.
That could go on a bumper sticker.
I love bumper stickers.
Okay, that's the thing. On the bumper stickers,
yeah.
What name do we put?
Jerry played, dot, dot, dot.
Yeah.
Who's dot, dot, dot?
Dot, dot, dot is the equipment manager. You haven't met her yet? She's great. She's a wonderful person.
Yeah, it's her first name, middle name, last name. Dot, dot, dot.
Her parents.
So one time I'm going to have to play the manager?
You might. Yeah. Maybe you'll play dot, dot, dot someday.
Jerry well, according played. To the bumper sticker.
Yeah. You're always dot, dot, dot.
You know what, Jerry? As the talent, it's up to you. We won't make any decisions without you.
Guys, I think it's a bad idea.
But Jerry.
People like to come to see the show that they know they're going to see.
No, let's ask
I think it's stupid to... Have people come and have the show be different than what they thought?
So I came up with this amazing idea.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're going to have a theater.
All right.
And this is going to make us a ton of money.
No, but, like, but what's, like, there's like a lot of theaters out there.
So we're going to have a theater where we have the same play every night, but each person is playing a different character.
Huh.
Yeah. It was going to be done in America, but apparently it got nixed by a totally short-sighted star.
Oh, that bum Jerry played. I heard about him.
Yeah, Jerry played.
He was a bad manager. Yeah,
there was a perfectly set up bumper sticker on everything.
What you're saying is if it doesn't work in America, bring it over the pond.
That's right.
Make it work here.
And we are just the three blokes to do it.
I think so. What do you think, Reginald?
Choose your own character theater.
Yeah, see?
Yep.
I think we can
bumper
make,
sticker.
We could make bumper stickers for the boot. That's the back, right?
That's the back, unless it was that car that we already talked about.
That would be the backwards car.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it, guys. We're going to make a million pounds.
Million pounds. And what would be more amazing is if we made euros.
That's a big debate, man.
I know it's a big debate, but I would like to make some euros.
All right. So we're going to need to like go on like the channel.
No, I mean, I want euros, the sandwiches.
Oh, you're talking about euros, all right then.
I'm sorry, am I mispronouncing it?
I don't think you are, actually.
Euros.
Just my ear isn't attuned to my own native
sometimes,
accent.
Sometimes my accent's a little funky.
So we're going to have a theater, and then we're going to sell euros. But yeah. For pounds,
yeah.
Maybe Jerry Played could run like the little like stand where they sell euros for pounds.
That would be amazing. I want to make a million of those euros and sell them.
And we could have like, we could say like, it's Jerry Played, what will he sell?
That's an amazing idea.
Isn't that right?
Your ideas are the best ideas.
I feel like I'm the ideas man. I'm not marketing anymore. I feel like I'm just the ideas guy.
I feel like when we get together for these brainstorming sessions, magic happens.
Magic.
Magic brainstorming sessions.
I love it, Reginald.
Yeah, that should go on a bumper sticker.
That's a good idea. So I made the soup again.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You like this soup.
Yeah.
You keep saying you like the soup. And
yeah, I requested the soup.
You never actually drink the soup.
I like to have it.
Yeah.
I like to have it more than I like to drink it.
That's interesting to me.
Yeah, thanks for bringing it.
Yeah, no problem. Listen, I brought the book you asked for.
Thanks!
Yeah, I never noticed you read it.
No, I like to look at it.
Huh. That's
I like to look at it more than I like to read it.
You seem like an interesting guy.
Thanks!
Yeah.
5 minutes and I'm going to need you back on the construction site.
Thanks for the warning. Yeah. I like to be at work more than I like to work at work.
I noticed that too. That's actually why I called you in today.
Oh, thanks!
Yeah, I feel like we hired you to do a job, right?
Yeah, thank you!
Not actually doing it.
Yeah, well, I like to have the job more than I like to do the job.
I understand that.
Kevin, you wanted me in on this?
Kevin, come in. We need someone from HR here.
Okay.
Oh, Kevin, thanks for coming.
No, that's fine. Kevin and Kevin talking to Kevin, right?
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah, thanks.
So Kevin here, I was just telling him, he doesn't really actually work.
Yeah.
We were talking about this.
Yeah, this is the non-working Kevin.
This is the non-working Kevin.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm thinking we're maybe at a point where non-working Kevin
maybe
won't get paid anymore.
Okay.
Maybe we let him go.
Not so much paid.
Maybe we tell Kevin he doesn't.
Well, I like to get paid more than I like to pay.
That makes sense. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
I'm just saying I don't think this is sustainable for us. We're trying to build this theater here. You know, if you're not helping,
you're kind of hurting.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I like to help more than I like to hurt.
I understand, but that's kind of incongruent with what you're saying about like not working.
So yeah. Well, I like to say it more than I like to speak it.
Kevin.
Kevin, who might be getting fired, Kevin?
Yes.
I need to sidebar with Kevin, who's my colleague.
Just
Kevin.
Give us a moment, Kevin. Is
that okay,
right?
Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks,
what
Kevin.
Do you think?
You know, he does seem like a very pleasant man.
He's super pleasant. That's why I'm having trouble here.
Incredibly positive.
Like, I feel like most people who are working in this theater are just assholes.
No, they're assholes and they don't seem to really like what they're doing. But, you know, if you notice, if you take the words that this guy's saying and you put any different tone to it, he's basically saying fuck off.
I mean, there's a spirit there. I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I feel like we've got grounds for termination. Again, I feel
definitely
like
grounds, that. But I feel weird about this one.
It's weird because I feel like in another instance we could give him something like real easy to do, like, hey, go build the Euro stand.
Yeah, or put together a puzzle.
But I don't even think he's gonna do that.
I don't think he would. I think he would talk about wanting to do it more than
in
doing
the most
it.
Pleasant way possible.
Absolutely.
I've never had this come up, Kevin.
In
all my years as a manager.
Me neither. I think that we need to be a united front and be strong.
Okay. So like to fire him is what you're saying. I don't want to. He's so pleasant.
Should we promote him?
Huh. I hadn't thought of
that. Because, you know, if he had a nice desk job, he could just kind of...
Like a manager.
Yeah, middle manager.
Oh, you're saying middle manager.
Because then he could just kind of skate by and not really... Nobody would notice.
Yeah. Like that Plaid fellow we hired.
Yeah. Yeah. Jerry Plaid.
Jerry Plaid. Whatever happened to him?
Well, I think he's still middle managing.
All right. I could see this, but then we could have this Kevin be kind of like the pleasant middle manager.
Yeah, and maybe we could just fire Jerry Plaid. Nobody would notice.
I've never liked him.
No, he was kind of a dick.
Jerry Plaid.
Jerry Plaid what?
What did he play?
Yeah, he played nothing.
He was here, and then we fired him.
Yeah, Jerry Plaid himself.
Oh, Kevin.
Oh, hey, Kevin.
Hey, Kevin, we were thinking.
Thinking
that thanks.
Maybe you
deserve promotion?
Oh. I like having promotions more than I like promoting. So not marketing.
Yeah, no, we never thought you a marketing guy.
Oh, yeah.
More like a middle manager.
Oh, I like the middle.
Yeah.
More than I like Malcolm in the middle. Or just the middle.
Sidebar.
So pleasant.
Malcolm in the Middle was a great show.
I'm indifferent to it.
Okay.
Kevin, tell me,
yeah.
If we made you middle manager...
Would you be able to skate by and do nothing?
I love to skate by more than I like to skate.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense. I hate skating.
Yeah.
I fall a lot.
Yeah, no, I know. I've seen you. It's weird when it's on the company skating trip.
Yeah, I know. And it's really awkward. I hate going every year.
I know, but you'll get there.
Thank you.
I keep feeling like we need to go every year because you'll maybe get better. You haven't yet.
No, and I won't. You know, it's really embarrassing because I grew up in Ottawa.
That's weird. And you were on the high hockey team.
I was, but it's like I hit 20 and it's like I forgot how to skate.
Do a thing.
No.
Couldn't do a thing.
It was really disturbing. Kevin, have you ever had that happen to you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Thanks for mentioning it. Yeah. I used to do a lot of things that I used to like to do better than I used to like them, but now I like to like things, and I like to like liking things, and I don't like to like doing things.
I get it, Kevin. You're already speaking like a middle manager. I feel that, like maybe this was a good idea.
I think that, hey, can you say the word synergy for me?
Yeah, I like to say synergy better than I like to say sin or energy.
Yeah.
Hey, Kevin, I noticed that Kevin over here drank your soup while we were talking.
What? Kevin?
Yeah, middle manager. I eat soup now.
He's on the team.
He's here.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for the soup. I liked eating it more than I liked having it.
Absolutely.
Welcome to middle management. Oh, so I just found out that I got promoted to middle manager.
Middle manager? That's like a death trap, man.
And so did both of you.
Well, I didn't want to do that.
I didn't want to either.
Death trap.
But like, you're not going to do anything.
I went into my boss and attempted to get fired because, of course, I wanted to open the theater with you blokes.
With the Euro. With the Euro stand.
Choose your own character theater.
I know.
I want to open the theater, but instead, they said, no, you're getting promoted to the middle. And not only are you getting promoted, but both of your chums, Reginald.
Reginald, too.
And Blake.
Blake, me?
Yeah.
I'm a middle manager.
Yeah, both of you are getting promoted, which is weird because Reginald didn't even work for the company.
But listen, we've spent our lives coming up with these, like, killer ideas.
Oh, no. And we finally have one.
And now they're like, go in a place where you're not going to do anything.
Oh, no. And so they want us all there on Monday to start middle managing.
They're like crimping our style, man.
Yeah. And here's the worst part, Blake. You're going to be a project manager.
Project managers don't do anything.
I know. You actually don't get to affect any change whatsoever. You are pretty much in like a Sisyphusian hell.
Just when we were like at the top of our Thundercat, right? Just we were at the top of
your
our
boulder rolled down the other side.
Coming down. And they're making me a project manager. Yeah. This is horrible.
It's the worst.
I can't imagine what's going to happen to the theater and the Eurostand now.
I'm just wondering, maybe if we changed our names.
Oh, like we come to work on Monday as like different people.
Or we don't go to work on Monday and they can't find us because we have different names.
I could get behind that idea. That's actually a good idea. That could make money.
Thank you.
I think that could be a moneymaker.
Reginald?
Change identities.
That's right. That could be our thing. That's our thing. That's going to make a lot of money.
Right.
And then we'll buy Euros with all the money.
Yeah, we could buy so many, a million Euros, and then we could make so many Euros off of the million Euros. I was thinking, as a tremendous way to promote our theater, free entry to the theater, and then we charge for the Euros.
Oh, come for the play.
Stay for the...
The food, right.
Yeah, there was no rhyme there.
That's all right. Not everything has to be on a bumper sticker on the boot. That's in the back, right?
Right, yeah, right. Except for that car that we made.
The one car, don't bring that up again. It's very troubling.
It was. There were so many deaths.
Oh, wow.
That was the last time we had to change our names.
I remember that, but that ended up being good for us. So maybe this time we change our names, it'll be good for us.
Yeah, I think that it really could. I'm very excited to open this theater.
Reginald, you're the ideas, man. Have you come up with a name yet?
No.
What? Reginald, you're really falling down on the job. You'll be starting to act like a middle manager there.
Well, that's... Yay.
Oh.
Look.
Oh.
What's happening, Reginald?
Well, now that I'm a middle manager, I just feel like I should be delegating the ideas.
Oh, no.
So...
Yeah, it just he's seems embraced like, it.
It just seems like as a middle manager, I shouldn't be doing the grunt dirty work. I should just be...
Oh, no.
That was the point. We, I should that's be, why we're upset, Reginald.
Should be synergizing, probably.
Oh, no,
I should
Reginald.
Just be,
no. Reginald.
Should be maximizing potential output and ideas.
Reginald.
I should,
Reginald.
And so, and
don't do it, Reginald.
I think I'm going to boisterously share the responsibilities among my... You know, it's a leverage thing. It's about... It's about... capitalizing capital, yeah.
I suppose he's going to make a committee for all of this, too.
And once a committee's made, there's no way that it will ever get done.
I can just see the euros flying away.
Right, I am looking for volunteers to head this committee. It'll be a committee that'll form a... It'll be a forming committee to form a committee that has a has the goal of synergy in mind.
Okay, like the subcommittee. I know Jerry Plaid always liked the subcommittee.
Jerry Plaid.
Went to committee meetings. Dot, dot, dot. She liked them too.
She liked them too,
she
liked
those committee meetings.
She loved those committee
she
meetings.
She always wore like that dress and made cookies.
And had polka dots.
I hope she's doing all right.
I hope so too. With she like with the cancer.
Yeah, tropical cancer. She went away for like 3 weeks to the tropical cancer.
Oh, there. And then they found out that she had used a sick time for that and they fired her.
That's so weird. But she's in like a sunny place now.
Well, yeah, I would hope so, assuming that she would. But I heard that she got stranded down there and she couldn't come back.
Well, that's kind of mean there.
Yeah.
You don't like, seem to like dot 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 anymore.
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I seem to like her. I
oh, you want her to be stranded so she doesn't have to come back and be on a committee. No. I see what you're saying.
Well, I feel bad that she doesn't have the ability to move like she wanted to.
Yeah.
Is what I'm saying. But I think that it's good that she didn't get stuck in middle management.
Oh, dot dot dot.
Yeah, it makes me feel bad for Reginald.
Poor Reginald.
Poor Reginald.
He's gonna end up like Jerry Plaid.
Yeah, getting fired.
And, you know, killed in the alley.
That's right. Yeah, that is what happened to Jerry Plaid.
Died.
In an alley. From a knife. Wielded by a middle manager that had just been hit on and punched in the face by an 8-year-old.
They're everywhere.
They are everywhere.
It's too bad.
And they are faceless and nameless, so they are the most dangerous.
Well, times. I think that's all of that.
We've run that
in. Next up, Pat!
And that's our show. Thank you to Tom Weber for being on our show today. Thank you to Tom Weber. Normally we have a group to thank on top of that, but really it's just Tom. But
that's all we need.
And you can hear Tom Weber every morning on NPR from 9 to noon along with the crew that he talked about today. It's a great show. Please check it out and be informed about what's going on in the world and in local Minnesota business, news, politics, and art. Tom is real good about bringing all that to you and parsing out the information that you need to know.
It's an important service, he does.
Also, if you want to see Tom perform, he is on a house team at the Brave New Workshop. I'm sorry, the Brave New Institute or Brave New Workshop Student Union, 2605 Hennepin Avenue South.
Next shows will be in May when Stage Match starts up again.
And they'll be performing about every other week at Stage Match, so check them out. They just got a ringing endorsement from local amazing improviser Jill Bernard saying that they are a master class in the game of the scene. So come out and check them out. They are real, real good.
you can see me doing something different. On Thursday, I will be doing a poetry reading.
What?
Yeah, it's part of a poetry series.
Your own poetry?
Yeah, it's going to be some poetry and or maybe some flash fiction that I'll be reading at the Richfield Community Center, 7 o'clock this Thursday, April 3rd.
Oh, that's excellent. And, I mean, people do forget, as talented as you are at speaking, that you are actually a creative writing master. You're getting your master's in that.
That's right. I'm a master in training. Also, you can see me and my new improv team, The Local Music Scene, on Saturday morning, 11 a.m. to 12:30. A regular show every Saturday at that time at Even Break Gallery, where we improvise based on songs performed by the musical guest. So check that out.
And it's possible that you might even see me pop up there once or twice. And let's see, anything else I'm doing? Not really. I'm doing some coaching right now. If you're interested in having me coach your team, let me know. I'd be interested in doing so. I am coaching some youth improv over at Brave New Workshop. And my team's looking pretty good, so I'd love it if you came and checked us out. Our performance is going to be in 2 weeks, so I will let you guys know when that happens. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Also, how are you guys liking this new website, guys?
I'm loving it. We're still working out the kinks, but it's looking good.
NextAtBatPodcast.com. It's that simple. You can also keep in touch with us on Facebook, facebook.com/NextAtBat, and send us an email, nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com.
That's right. We have a couple of fun things in the works, possibly, to do with the new website, but we'll let you know when we're doing them for sure. But one of the things is possibly doing a weblog, diary, audio log sort of thing of a new show that I will be directing with Joe Halverson called The Improvisers, and do kind of a audio diary of how things are going from the mouths of the performers, so over the course of the rehearsal process. So that could be kind of cool, and that will only be up on the website. We won't distribute that through iTunes or anything like that. So also check us out on iTunes, subscribe to our podcast, rate and review our podcast, give it 5 stars. It helps us out a lot, gets us new listeners. We just crossed over 1,100 likes on Facebook. Nice. I can't believe we're still getting that many people that like us, which is amazing. And thank you so much for listening.
And as always,
praise Jaibosh, who brings us all the listeners.